Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeart Radio app. We're on from 1 until 4, and after 4 o'clock, you go to the iHeart app for the John and Ken on-demand podcast, and you can now listen 24-7 and hear every bit of the show every day.
And to win money. It's coming up in about 10 minutes. Again, we still have the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest, $1,000 cash with a keyword. And we also have in place the Moist Line. We've got a hack for the dumpster. Today, though, is very special because it's both Hack in a Dumpster and Satan's Lake of Fire.
Oh, Satan's Lake of Fire.
We have never done that. We're doing both with several individuals.
They're getting a double treatment.
No. Some are going in the dumpster. Some are going into the Lake of Fire.
Ah.
So there are several people involved, and we've decided that at least one deserves in the special category of the Lake of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out all of that coming up in the 3 all o'clock right, hour. I had to check the calendar, right? It's July 14th.
Yeah.
So it might be hot. The stories about the heat are just beginning to overwhelm any level of sanity I have seen.
Yeah.
It's out of control.
I won't watch them. I won't read them either.
It's, what, 92 in Burbank? That happens every July.
I don't understand the obsession
with this.
Well, it's partly hysteria to whip people up to watch and click, and partly is they've got this climate agenda. So they know the average person doesn't really know what the high temperature is supposed to be. So they can make any high temperature sound extreme if you want, right? I mean, what's the average daily high in LA in mid-July? I don't know. Is it 83? Is it 88? Is it 91? Nobody knows. So you just pick a number and say, oh, my God, this is... Yeah, okay.
All right, we'll get into that with some ration and reason. Let's begin with, become a porch thief and steal a package off of somebody's front porch or reach into their mailbox and steal their mail in case there's checks or something in there? Why don't you just rob the postal carrier? How bizarre is this? Blake Trolley, KFI News, is covering the story for KFI.
This happened in Studio City.
Actually, this happened in North Hollywood, but they took, I believe, the key they stole from the mail carrier over to Studio City to start ripping off mail. And yeah, the Postal Inspection Service guys is looking for armed thieves who held up a mailman in North Hollywood. Again, offering $50,000 for information on the thieves. And I would guess this is actually partially an attempt to get a big discount on fixing the issues this could cause All of this went down Tuesday in an industrial park area in North Hollywood off Vineland, right across the street from East Valley High School. The mailman, I'm told by people in the area, is a friendly guy, known to everyone in the area. On Tuesday, he's going about his business. A BMW pulls up. A guy gets out with a gun. The mailman sees this, starts running into Dave's Auto Body looking for help. The manager of Dave's Auto Body sees all this playing out outside his window and actually runs into a closet. So the mailman runs into the building, finds the manager hiding in a closet, asks for help. At this point, the robber has caught up to the mailman and now the manager. They're both inside the closet, holds both of them up at gunpoint, demanding the mailman's master key, nothing else. The owner of the business actually gave me video footage of this. It's on my Twitter, at Blake Trolley. But anyways, we'll go to bite one. Here's the audio of that. You can hear him there just really honing in on getting his hands on that key. People who work for this body shop, I was speaking with them this morning. They told me they're on edge because of this. They're having a hard time getting to work. Owner Mark Dupree says both guys responded a lot differently to this. If we can go to bite two. Have you spoken to the mailman? How traumatized is he? And also your manager?
Surprising. Two different people, and obviously people are going to handle things differently. And I believe until you have a gun pointed at you, you don't know how you're going to act or react. So, coincidentally, the mailman, back on the job next day. My manager, traumatized. Went to see a therapist yesterday. I've given him time off. You know, take as much time as you need. Stuck it out that day. It happened about 10 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. Stuck it out that day, manned up, so to speak. And took off about 4. And then came in the next morning, you know, tried to shake it off and couldn't. I could visibly see it in him, so I sent him home. And I understand he went and saw a therapist and, you know, he's trying to work through it.
I just want Chris Little to know, if I get held up on the job, minimum six weeks.
6 weeks of therapy.
6 weeks. Yeah, minimum.
You'd have 6 weeks of therapy having to work with Chris, actually.
That's true. Now, until so you had a gun in your face, you never know.
Actually eight, I think that's 8 weeks.
I don't know, like, how the whole mail system works, because they lose a lot of my mail. How the master key, how do you know where this works for everybody's apartment complex into all their mailboxes?
Apparently so. I'm told at least the master. So I think the other part of this story, and I'm trying to get a hold of the postal inspectors on this. They haven't returned any of my inquiries on this. But the same night the guys robbed this postal carrier, an apartment building in Studio City was broken into with a postal service master key. The whole thing was caught on surveillance video. Two guys are basically trick or treating for mail. They're just loading.
How do they know where to go? I mean, if he stole the key in North Hollywood, how did he know that these apartments in Studio City, the key would fit and they'd be able to...
That's what I'm working to figure out. I mean, the whole thing seems very organized, right? It seems like
inside
these guys knew
job.
Exactly what they were doing.
I mean, they'd have to know his route. And I didn't know all those apartment boxes would have the same keyhole.
I didn't know that either, but check this out, guys. And this is what I mean by that $50,000, I'm guessing, is an attempt to get a discount on reversing this. They're saying the master key, at least the master key that opened up that apartment building and would also open up all of those same boxes. And again, I'm still trying to figure that out too, exactly right. How that works. Apparently that master key has access to all of Studio City. So I'm guessing the U.S. Postal Service at this point is realizing this is going to get really expensive if we've got to go out and change the locks for all of Studio City.
Yikes. That's that'll be hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
Of, I guess, apartment mailboxes.
And I, it would be apartment mailboxes. There's homes in Studio City. I believe that master key is it probably opens a lot of gates. There's gated neighborhoods, I'm sure, that it gets into. I mean, there's a lot of things that a master key would work for, I would assume, with a postal
carrier. Yeah, I don't know how the concept of a master key works.
I don't know either. All I know is that the manager of that apartment building was saying this master key will open up pretty much all of Studio City as far as mailboxes go. So
these guys really knew what they were doing.
It sounds like this whole thing was targeted. And again, we're trying to figure out more, but just
must be postal workers.
Well, even when I went out to North Hollywood, at first I saw the same report you did. So I thought it went down in Studio City as well. But when I was actually looking at where the robbery went down, it went down in North Hollywood and pretty far up north in North Hollywood. So the idea that they would take the key and go straight down to Studio City and just start ransacking mailboxes. So they're looking for him. And I'm told by LAPD it's specifically handled by that Postal Inspection Service.
They've got video of these guys?
They've got video of them, down in Studio City, robbing that robbing all the mailboxes.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, Blake Trolley, KFI News.
Well, if you've ever gotten a luggage lock, you know, when you travel, you check luggage, there's one kind you can get so TSA can actually get into your luggage if they have to. So it's kind of a master key situation.
I didn't know that. No, I never had one.
Because if they scan your luggage, right, and they decide there's something they need to look at and you're not around, how are they going to get in? They could break in, but you don't want that. Right?
I thought they'd blow it up.
But it's like, so they have like a master key kind of thing to get into, so they sell these particular locks. So I guess that's the idea, sort of a master key situation. All right, when we return, you have a chance at money. That's right. $1,000 is up for possible winnings by you with the keyword contest. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, well, big national story today, and it's something you don't see as much anymore, is a serial killer, they believe, was arrested. A guy on Long Island, New York, his name is Rex, I think it's pronounced Hurman, H-E-U-E-R-M-A-N-N, 59-year-old married architect. These killings, at least the main ones that they have charged him with right now, were sex workers. These women were found wrapped in burlap within days of each other in late 2010, and they were left like on a beach called Gilgo Beach off Long Island. They also think he's a possible suspect in the death of six other people, including a male victim. But for now, he's been charged with the deaths related to three of the women from over 10 years ago. And it says here in the story that they used a DNA from a discarded pizza crust that they got from, I guess, his trash back in January, and they got a match to DNA from the hair of one of the victims, a woman by the name of Megan Waterman. And I scrolled through the story and I said, well, if that's all you got, that doesn't seem like much. But eventually you find out that this was an elaborate thing he pulled off, this crazed man. He apparently used burner phones to meet up with the women, and he scheduled these sex meetings when his wife was out of town. And later, they believe he used one of the burner phones to call one of the victim's relatives after her death and taunt her. They also tracked some of his use through the phones and other media where he was following all of the work done on the case about why hasn't the Long Island serial killer been caught. He was looking up all sorts of stories.
Email
addresses associated with the burner phone. He was looking up all sorts of stories about the case.
Well, did you see they went through his search records online? And the searches were sex workers, child pornography, sadistic torture-related sex acts, such as girl begging for rape porn, pretty girl with bruised face porn, tied up and raped porn. This is the stuff he called up on the computer. And, of course, Google complied immediately.
He's the owner and founder of a Midtown Manhattan architecture firm. So he had a really stable job, and he's a guy in his late 50s. But they did a profile. The New York Times had a profiler. And boy, he nailed it. He assumed that it's probably somebody who's married, who has a very professional job, has a very, very secure life going, probably doesn't live far from where the bodies were found. All these things turned out to be true, if this is indeed the killer. But really, the reason I picked the story, kind of the reason, is because John loves it when, you know, we get quotes from the neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
And sure, one of the neighbors was shocked, but they also talked to at least one person that said, it makes sense that he's a serial killer. Someone who's known him professionally for years told the New York Post, and their name's not in the story, that he was weird and a big talker. He always stood out. He was very personable. He would always make a point to talk to everyone in the room. He promised to make professional connections, but he would never follow through. And it says here, he ran his own architectural firm. And this guy met him about 10 times. Quote, he was weird, always odd. He'd mosey around. We knew there was something off about him.
Oh, if you're paying attention, if you're just slightly above average in intelligence, you could pick up on these guys.
Yeah.
But here's somebody who didn't pick up. Barry Auslander, who lives down the block. He seemed like a regular neighbor. I never thought he was anything but a businessman, an average guy who had a family and went to work. Okay, Barry. Good instinct there. Good intuition.
Well, another source said, it's shocking. It's terrifying. You never think you're going to come in contact with a serial killer. I never got the impression he was sleazy to women. Well,
but just...
I don't think you want to give off that vibe.
You don't do that stuff in public, in social situations, with friends and neighbors. That's your dark secret place.
No.
You never show. In fact, you do the opposite. You're overly friendly. You're very quiet. You know, the whole idea is you want to get away with it. If you actually act like a crazy person, then people are going to catch on fairly quickly. As soon as somebody gets murdered in the neighborhood, hey, it's probably that crazy person down the block. But if it's the dullest guy or the friendliest guy on the block, nobody's going to think of you. No one's going to suspect.
When you look at some of the pile of evidence which was laid out, I wonder why it took this long to catch up with them. I guess with the DNA and then with collecting all the information on his burner phones and his whereabouts and stuff like that. That's just 2010, it's 2023. It's like over 12 years it took them to actually arrest this guy.
They found his wife's DNA on three of the bodies.
I know.
And
something about a plastic water bottle, DNA testing on a water bottle from outside this guy's home was determined to be a match to a sample of women's hair found on tape used to tie up two of the women, as well as a belt used to also to bind another woman, to bind her feet. So
he was, he was connecting with prostitutes online.
While his wife was out of town.
That's right.
And more than that, he decided to, he strangled them to death, by the way. It seems to be the motive, which they always say is one of the most personal ways to kill somebody. That and stabbing, that means you're really into it.
Yeah, so
you're really angry or motivated to do it, right?
Yeah, and it's obsession. He would do it once. I remember reading about a serial killer once, and the way it was described is, they get this, some of them get this burning desire, this tension. They're very stressed out. They're very tense, and they become obsessed, and they think about the killing over and over and over again, and then they finally do it. And then when they do it, it's this enormous psychological relief and sometimes a sexual relief.
Yeah.
For the killers who sexually assault the victims. And then they're happy for a while. And then it starts building up inside again. And it's like, again, it spins around in their head. And that's when they start to identify, okay, who's going to be next? And they plot it out. And it's a cycle that never ends that you can't fix, which is why you should kill them.
All right, when we come back, today we have a pair of columns from the El Segundo Times, which are worth talking about. One is from, I think we named her Rookie of the Year Idiot at the El Segundo Times a couple of years ago. She actually wrote about Senate Bill 14, the one we've been talking about all week, which is going to go after the sex traffickers with harsher punishments, give them a strike. Of course, she had the opposite stance for that. When we return, another one was very excited that the Manson killer, Leslie Van Houten, has been paroled from prison.
Boy,
she worked with her.
Yes. Boy, this is like a love letter to a Manson killer.
About that. All right, coming up, John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
the
podcast
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, you know what to do. You go to the iHeart app, get the John and Ken on-demand podcast rolling, okay? And then you can hear the whole show 24-7 all weekend, not miss a thing. Again, that's available after 4 o'clock every day.
All right, well, one of the other big stories this week is that one of the Manson killers is out of prison. This is Leslie Van Houten, who had been up for parole many times before, blocked by Governor Newsom. It was just a couple of years ago. Remember that? He blocked one of her parole.
Yeah, why'd he give up this time?
He gave up. Well, there was a court.
He would fight to the death, and this time he was supposed to appeal this to the Supreme Court. Parole.
What's that?
Yes, he could.
Yes, he could appeal it to the state Supreme Court. He did not. He just passed on that. But that is what happened.
All right. Well, this is on him then. He didn't take it to the Supreme Court, so he's the one who let Leslie Van Houten out. And by the way, he's the one. Do you know how long the terms are on the parole board? Only 3 years.
Oh.
So he has appointed a lot of these idiots to the parole board who are letting out all these criminals, including Leslie Van Houten.
And Leslie Van Houten, of course, was involved in the vicious murders of a couple who were killed in their home. This would be the LaBiancas, a Los Angeles grocer by the name of Leno LaBianca, and his wife, Rosemary, were stabbed viciously. And Van Houten did do stabbing. She
14 times.
That knife, yeah, many times.
Right? 14 times into Rosemary LaBianca in the back, severed her spine. You know, and I'm reading this idiotic column by something named Angela Cardinale. And I'm looking to see, when is she going to describe what Leslie Van Houten did before she wrote this love letter to Leslie? And she doesn't. She doesn't ever explain the 14 stab wounds, the severing of the spine. It was a frenzy. It was a maniacal frenzy that Leslie Van Houten was in. She's not this.
She was young.
Did you do this when you were 17?
No.
Any of your friends?
Not that I know of.
I didn't either. None of my friends.
I had a few I thought were capable, but I don't know of any stabbings
but who,
they did.
Right? Who followed through? Nobody.
See, don't you think 53 years is enough prison time?
No, she should have been executed. But the Supreme Court got rid of the death penalty for a time in the early 70s, and all the California death penalty cases were thrown out the door. So, she slipped in there, and ended up with life in prison. That's why life in prison is a terrible alternative to the death penalty, because eventually they all get let out.
Yeah, this columnist gave her a tongue bath here. I worked with Leslie for close to 10 years. I wasn't sure what to expect when I met her. She was wildly intelligent, kind, soft-spoken, tiny. It's difficult to reconcile the woman in front of me with the crime she had committed. She has a master's degree in philosophy and was revered by the women whom she tutored.
Revered?
At prison graduations, others cheered her work.
Is this an insane asylum at the prison? 14 stab wounds.
You said people can't be changed. They're trying to say she's changed. She's a great person now.
She can't. She's not a great person.
Her lawyer says that she's got job offers.
Who's going to hire a Manson family member?
It would be quite
disgusting. I want to know. I'm not going in there. What's she going to do? Is it that hard to get people?
Meet my secretary, Leslie Van Houten.
Where
do I know that name from?
God, we can't find any applicants. What are the Manson family members doing these days?
He said that she's got some computer skills. She's got a master's degree. She's got job offers. She's bright. She's got support from family and friends. She's going to do just fine, says her lawyer.
What job offers?
He didn't specify.
She hasn't been out.
It's Rich Pfeiffer, but that's what he told People magazine.
Rich Pfeiffer. Yeah, she probably made that up. There's a lot of job offers.
Look at that. Leslie even comforted this columnist during a difficult time. We'd been warned against speaking with the incarcerated women about our personal lives, but as she and I sat discussing lesson plans in a prison classroom, it became difficult for me to hide my feelings about my impending divorce.
Oh, God.
She confided in a murderer about her divorce, and she was comforted.
Why did her husband leave?
This is the columnist, Angela Cardinale, who's a teacher and writer, it says here.
I'm talking to Leslie Van Houten about you, honey. I'm telling Leslie Van Houten what you're like at home. Who's Leslie Van Houten? Manson family member? Slaughtered the LaBianca family? Oh, yeah, sure.
Before I could cry, she told me she'd been married once too briefly and made a joke about it. We laughed. I was grateful for the moment of connection.
Boy, this woman is utterly friendless, isn't she?
Well,
you know what? I mean, everybody goes through relationship issues and marriages and stuff, but imagine the only person you can confide in is Leslie Van Houten. Star murderer in the Manson family. In fact, I think Manson didn't kill anybody on that spree. It was all his proteges.
Right, all of his minions carried out the killings. Yes.
So here you have somebody who actually physically killed more people than Charles Manson, and that's who this lady's confiding into about her busted up marriage. Wow. Nothing wrong there.
Says here, she apparently was fearful of visits from her young nephew, that he came and they would play tag, because she was afraid he was going to ask what she was in for. Yeah, why don't you Google it? I was part of the Manson family murders.
See, everybody plays pretend that she didn't viciously kill somebody. And I know I keep repeating this, but this wasn't like, two people got into an argument, a fight, right? And somebody in a heated moment pulled out a knife, right? Or she wasn't under attack. She and that group went out of their way, driving miles and miles from their sicko ranch up in the valley, and they picked, I forgot why they picked the LaBianca Leno house, but they did, and they barge in there, and this poor woman, Rosemary LaBianca, was eventually knifed 14 times by this woman, Leslie Van Houten. And can you believe the LA Times? Nobody at the LA Times says, oh my God, this is revolting. This is disgusting.
Oh no, Angela now wonders how the outside world will unfold for her. I wonder if she'll achieve her dream of continuing to teach. I wonder what her relationship with her family will be. I wonder if I'll ever see her again. I hope so. Oh,
this is insane. There's no other word to describe it.
Throw this lady in jail.
Yes.
Oh, the writer?
Well, she ought to be dragged away in a net and medicated and locked up.
Anthony DeMaria is the nephew of another Manson murder victim, was a hairstylist by the name of Jay Sebring. Now, Leslie Van Houten wasn't there for his murders, but he had a good quote. He said, Leslie Van Houten has always kind of propped herself up as a Manson follower, but she's anything but. She's a cold-blooded killer in one of the most notorious murder rampages in U.S. history. And yes, he got it right.
She's a psychotic. She's an absolute cold-blooded psychotic.
I think for a time, because this story's been around so long, I thought she was not a stabber. I didn't until I started to read more about the history of this.
Because it's 50, it's 54 years now.
Yeah, so, 1969.
You know, there's a lot of people, obviously a lot of people weren't even born. And the people who are around can barely remember the details of who stabbed what when. But no, she was one of the most vicious killers of them all. And this Angela Cardinale says, Leslie committed a horrific crime that I don't excuse. Oh, I don't excuse. That's as harsh as she's going to come down on Leslie. But I also believe we're all capable of more than most of us are willing to admit.
See? Well, you could be killing people.
Leslie is a good person who did a bad thing. Leslie is a good person who did a bad thing.
It's described as a bad thing, stabbing somebody 14 times.
That husband is lucky he got out of there, boy.
We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
I just got two emails.
Yeah.
And a text.
Wow.
And it's both warning me that it's going to be hot out.
Hmm.
And I click through to the actual warning, and it says here that I can keep cool by identifying and resting in shade.
Well, so, if you need help with that.
You have to identify the shade. You have to walk down the street. It's like, I see shade over there. I will go lie down in the shade.
Who are these coming from?
This is coming from... the L.A. government.
L.A. It's, city or county?
It's called, I don't know, Notify L.A. It's the city or the county.
Another one of those heat offices they created, like the climate emergencies and stuff like that.
So
this is what they do all day. They send out press releases to find shade.
I got three of these notifications already. So identify and rest in shade or a building with air conditioning. Okay. And drink plenty of water.
Now, hydration is key.
Don't leave your kids or your pets in a hot car.
Oh, good one. Let me see. Is that here? Well, I think they missed something.
They skipped the pets. Yeah. People first, Deborah.
Well, I did. I said kids and pets.
Yeah. Well, I don't see that in the official government warning. Oh, here we go. Took a while to get to. Young children and pets should never be left unattended. Very good, Deborah. You were right on top of that. Check on neighbors who may be sensitive to heat. Yes.
I'll tell you what, let's spend the rest of the show reading the names of all 147 cooling centers in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, you can go to a public school, public swimming pool.
Can we open a box here? What is she doing?
She's doing her public service announcement.
There she is. She feels like, I'm in the newsroom, and therefore I should help out with the information.
I'm going to be helpful.
You can jump in a local pool.
Go jump in a local pool.
You know that expression, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? They were using that for a while in a campaign for promoting the city. And a lot of people go there for events like bachelor parties. This is the second story this hour involving a Long Island man, which is where I'm from, by the way. The first one was a serial killer. This one isn't, but this one's going to be tough for this poor guy to live down. His name is Brian Danzelik. 35 years old, and he went to Vegas for a bachelor party. And by the time the night was over, he was dancing naked on top of a poker table at Harrah's Casino. He was gyrating his stuff.
Oh.
They had a tough time grabbing him, the security, because, you know, people are naked, a little slippery. Plus, you never know what you might grab onto. His wife, back home pregnant, told the New York Post.
another prize.
Well, we are certain someone, what's the old expression, slipped him a Mickey. They're quite certain because he was outside one of the casino bars and they were, according to a friend, they were talking about, this sounds completely opposite, homeowners insurance. And then somebody inside bought us a round of drinks and he was handed a drink. And shortly after that, he said, I don't feel right. I don't feel too well.
Well, was he the only one who had his drink spiked?
It seems like it. Before you know it, he ran off. Then he took off all his clothes. He climbed atop a poker table, flaunted his genitals to everybody, exposing his penis and testicles while gyrating.
Mm.
People whipped out their phones.
Oh.
Security was called, but the rest of the folks, some were laughing, some were aghast.
Did you read the other thing he did? As security went towards him, he exposed his anus to all who passed on the main floor.
Hmm.
Not just his rear end.
Yeah. Like I said, you
wow.
know, what happens in... Apparently, oh no, he punched a one-legged man at the Bird Bar at the Flamingo Hotel.
Jesus.
Well, if he was really under the influence of some hallucinogenic drug, I mean, they could prove that. Did he take a blood test so they could help him here? If that's what happened, I mean, then he has to, well, I don't know if he has to prove, but he has to, not that he, make sure he didn't take it himself.
Listen to the pregnant wife. I will start by saying that we are good people. Yeah, and Leslie Van Houten's a good person, too. My husband is
a killer. He's a guy that just went on a bender.
But everybody does that now.
Everybody goes nuts at bachelor parties. Don't they still do that?
I'm a good person. Leslie's a good person. My husband's a good person. All right, so we knocked the guy off.
He was drugged.
He knocked a guy off his wooden leg.
I don't know what that was about. But this went on for a long time because they just couldn't grab him. He kept running away. I wonder what the hallucinogenic drug is, though, that makes you, and we've had this problem before. Remember, we had a bunch of stories where people took off all their clothes and ran around crazy.
I don't know. I've never
he
had
said that
any
he
of
started
that.
Getting all paranoid and ran off. They're trying to calm him down, but he was getting worse and worse. This drug just took off, and he took off running.
Michelle, the wife, says he would never act in such a way. He is the victim. The person who chose to drug my husband is the true criminal and is to blame for such behavior.
Well, if they can prove that, right? He's got to come back for court.
That's a good wife, though. Huh?
Next month.
A lot of wives wouldn't buy this.
She's standing. Well, you know, if you're pregnant and you know that your husband's going to a bachelor party in Vegas, you got to believe it's probably going to get a little crazy.
If it's so out of character.
But this is so sad because this is permanently recording by all these folks with their cell phone cameras.
But wives don't really...
You can see him jumping up on the table, and he's knocking security out of the way, and he's knocking all the cards off the table.
Wives really don't know what the character is of the single version of their husband.
Oh, so you've done stuff like this, and your wife doesn't know about it?
There's probably stories that I wouldn't tell my wife from when I was single.
Like this?
Not like this,
no,
but
this could be because of the hallucinogenic drug.
I could think of one that would be fairly entertaining, though, that I don't think she ought to hear.
I'll think
all right, we got time.
You don't. No,
sure.
I mean, there's single version of a guy, and then there's married version. And once you rein everything in for the marriage, the wife has a certain... understanding of your character and your personality and doesn't know that you might have been out of your mind when you were 22.
Wow.
Hey, sowing your wild oats.
There's lots of
oats.
A lot of oats there.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. The iHeart Radio app.
You've got no stories?
No, not really.
Nothing?
Maybe
just
a few. I don't know.
Just a slow, boring life, huh?
Never know.
Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
to the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.